Welcome to Uncommon Purpose with your hosts, Mandy Cooley
and Stephanie Porter.
We believe our uncommon purpose is found at the intersection of our heads and our hearts.
In each episode, we'll share stories, resources, and expertise that will help us build meaningful connections and reflect the love of Christ.
Join us as we have an authentic conversation about the journey of living for the Lord while cultivating our uncommon purpose. All right, listeners, hi, friends. We are going to talk about margin on this episode.
One of my favorites.
Margin, like on the notebook paper that we used to have when we were back in school. And I never, when I was a teacher, I would never let students turn in the fringy stuff on the margins of their paper. Clean margins, clean edges. None of that fringy ripped out of the spiral notebook stuff. Tell me what you think about when you think about margin, friend. What is it?
Margin. I love that you gave the visual of the paper because already it talks about room. What's right on the edge?
Yeah.
You talked about the fray. Oh, is it disheveled? Is it put together? Is it right? Mm-hmm. So like margin to me is space, rhythms, time. Those are like the key words that go into my head.
Yeah. Yeah.
Even breath prayers, right? When I think about margin, immediately I'm like, oh, do I have margin? Do I have a breath? Do I have a moment of time?
Mm-hmm. When I think about margin on a really just practical level, I do think a lot about what it was like to teach students. I taught English. And so we would talk about MLA formatting and have, you know, 1-inch margins on our documents. But the reason for that, right, the reason for the margins on our notepapers or the margins in our essays and research papers had most to do with creating a space, literally a space, so that we could read and experience what was there in a way that was comfortable. It really is about creating edges that are not filled so that we can experience what is coming at us.
Yeah.
When I think about margin, I think about permission for the Holy Spirit to move.
Like that. I also think about boundaries. Margin creates boundaries, or maybe even a better way to say it is it exposes the boundaries that are already there.
Or not, as the case may be. Depending.
Or not.
When we very first met, I remember you telling me about a book called Margin.
Oh, yes.
Dr. Richard Swenson wrote a book called Margin. His subtitle is Restoring Emotional, Physical, Financial, and Time Reserves to Overloaded Lives. Tell me about that book and the impact that it made in your life.
That book was incredible. I had done a lot of work on boundaries. I'd read a lot of books on boundaries, Cloud and Townsend's book. And so it gave just this element of taking boundaries to the next level of if you do not create the margin in your life, the margin will create you, right? It's
Stop.
Yeah.
What does that mean? Tell me more about that.
Okay.
If you don't create margin, margin will create you.
So basically it's like money. If you don't boss your money around, then your money bosses you around.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
It's the same concept. If you don't boss your time around, then your time bosses you around. You're running around with the calendar that that has been created, and you're running from thing to thing instead of saying to the calendar, these are the blocks of times I'm available to do X, Y, and Z. Right. So
That calendar thing.
Yeah. That calendar thing.
Yeah. We'll talk about that a little bit.
For real. So this book stopped me in my tracks and made me realize, I have no margin. I'm so scheduled, even in my therapy schedule, I am still learning how to put margin in between my sessions so I can go to the bathroom, so I can get a drink, so I can come up from air between different clients. But I do think this book just had a moment of time where it just made me look at how am I taking my self-care holistically? And then how am I taking care of myself holistically in physical, emotional, medical, time, financial, relationally.
Yeah. A quote from that book that has stuck with me for a long time. And as I was preparing for this, it resurfaced again, is that margin is the space between our load and our limits.
Oh, yes.
And that just hit me in between my eyes when I read that for the first time. I read it again. We have limits, right? It's not just our boundaries that are protective.
Right.
It's the acknowledgement that we have limits.
Right.
That I don't have the capacity to do all the things.
Right. For all the people.
In all the places at all the time.
Right.
And so I have a load. I have a responsibility, but I also have a limit.
Yes.
And it's the space that sits between them.
Yeah.
Which takes me back again to that image of a piece of paper. Papers stop, right? Like if you look at a piece of notebook paper, there's a place that white paper stops and the table below it is.
Yeah.
We can't go wider or taller than what is there.
Right. It only fits on the paper.
Right. And my load can only fit on the lines that are there.
Right. Absolutely.
So I can try to squeeze stuff into the sides, into the edges. I can write in the margins, which I'm notorious for writing in the margins of my books and, you know, writing on the edges of things. But I'm just trying to squeeze more in. Is more better?
Such a great question. Is more better? No, I think I'm learning. I've been learning that for a long time, but I love this example. You know, when I teach boundaries to my clients, I'm like, boundaries are everywhere. The kitchen sink is a boundary. It says, I can hold this much water.
Yes.
And then we run the, we plug it and then we walk away and we run the water. And then we are like, why is there water on the floor? Well, because we overfilled the sink. And then there's a natural consequence that requires a response or a reaction.
Because we actually have to clean up the mess we made.
Yes.
When we didn't honor the edges, the boundaries, the limits of what can be held.
Right. Yeah. So why would we not have the same limits in our time with our body, with our finances, with our calendar, in our relationships?
Where do you find you struggle with maintaining healthy, a sufficient margin the most?
Where would I
hear you listing categories. So
yeah,
time.
Yeah. I think it's my calendar because I haven't been so, because in the past, like in the last 20 years, I wasn't good with putting margin and I was squeezing everything in and I was, you know, burning the candle at both ends and like trying to do all the things. Having a full calendar made me feel good. Right. It made me feel accomplished, important, significant. And I had to realize that actually an empty calendar could give me the same feelings, because I was seeking out an activity, whether it was with a person or a doctor's appointment or whatever. And I was like, oh, look, because I'm busy, then I must be doing life well.
I feel like we just need to sit here on this for a minute, because I can only imagine the number of people who are listening who are thinking, ooh, I don't know. I'm feeling some kind of way about that.
And so I have made these margins in my life. Like I'm home when my kids are home. I work between these hours and these hours. Say yes only to lunches with friends on Fridays. And so then I didn't have a lot of margin for a lot of extras. And I can't tell you the pushback that I've gotten on how many times people will say to me, you're so busy, you don't have time for me. But the truth was, I stopped defending myself and I stopped explaining myself, because the truth was, I had created margin. No, see, I'm going to come home after having 5-7 sessions in a day and I'm going to give myself an hour to breathe.
Yeah.
And then my kids are going to come home and my, you know, my family's going to come home and I'm going to be present with them. I got to change hats and change gears. And then I'm not going to run around to every Bible study or every activity or because actually being home gave me margin. Oh, because guess what? Now I actually can go on the walk that I needed to.
Yeah. But you know, but when you say no to me being the person who's asked you that question,
right?
When you tell me no, I then have to look at my own self a little bit.
Right.
And sit with the discomfort of, oh, what is it like for her to not need me or for her to not want time with me?
Right.
Or what will I do if I can't fill that slot on my schedule? Mm-hmm. Is it okay if we don't meet for 3 weeks?
Right.
Yeah. I have to tell you, I really wrestle with the busyness piece when it comes down to how it affects how I can show up for other people.
Mm-hmm.
And that it is really hard for me to tell someone that. Probably 2 weeks ago, someone reached out to me and said, someone I love dearly, and said, can we get another date on the calendar? And I had to go out three or four weeks to be able to do that. And I felt myself coming up against my own thinking, my own distorted thinking.
Good.
Around, I'm not telling her she's not important.
Right.
As a matter of fact, I'm creating space for her where I can.
Right.
And I'm working to find it.
That's right. Because she is important.
But if I can't do it right away, I'm like, oh, that's bad. Something's wrong with me. This is like the quick first thought in my head is like, something's wrong if I can't make room for my friends right away.
Yeah.
That's so because that's an old belief that I held at some point that just hasn't quite come, you know, disconnected. I don't let that go as quickly as I wish I would. Mm-hmm. I don't feel that way when I reach out to someone and say, can we connect? And it takes 3 weeks. But in my mind, I tell myself the story that she will feel like I don't consider her important if I don't have time for her immediately. Oof. And I don't want to put work in front of people.
Right.
But there's a reality too. I have a job. So I need to show up for my job.
Well, and I think too, right, is that did you go to, oh, I'm going to disappoint her?
Yes. Yes.
So the first thing we do with margin is we start sloughing our margin so we don't disappoint other people.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I think there's another word for that. These are old codependent behaviors that I will make myself uncomfortable in order to make you feel good.
Right.
That is, I mean, it's just wild. Like in prep for this episode, I was thinking a little bit about, you know, what does a busy calendar communicate to me? What does it communicate to others? Because I feel like margin in time is really where most of us experience this. Probably the three areas that I think are most obviously affected by margin is our physical home, you know, the spaces around us, the calendars we keep, and our checkbooks.
Yeah.
I guess nobody writes checks anymore. So our bank accounts.
You just dated us.
I know. Listen, I don't know if I can find anybody that balances a checkbook.
I don't even know
who takes checks.
I still write some checks, but you know, far and few between.
Yes. Yes. But anyway, I was thinking through like, what is it? It's so different to have an empty bank account. That, I mean, we all know,
right? The panic. The
dangers. Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Yet when I have an empty calendar account, so to speak, you know, when my time is gone, that doesn't feel quite so dangerous. That doesn't feel quite so panicky in the moment. It's when I want to make a withdrawal from my time account and I can't, I then begin to feel the panic.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think that's learning how to listen to the warning signs, because I think there's so many warning signs before we run out of margin that, you know, like our body is telling us like, you're tired. You can't actually physically meet with this person. You can't actually physically work another hour. We ignore it sometimes and we push through. But then we get to places and spaces like, you know, I have an autoimmune disorder and I do not have the luxury now of ignoring it. I have to listen to my body.
When I was very first diagnosed with my autoimmune disorder, I kept coming back to this language that I had martyred myself at the altar of productivity. And my body
was revolting.
Yeah. My body paid the price.
Wow.
Because I would stay. I mean, it was all around productivity, mm-hmm. which for me, productivity connected to worthiness and worth.
Yeah.
And value and contribution. And
significance. Absolutely.
Yeah. I would overextend, and there was no excess to pull mm-hmm. from. I had no extra, you know, they stopped me.
Yeah.
your point of you make the margin or margin makes you. I woke up and couldn't see I did not have clear vision for 6 weeks.
Yeah.
I could not see a single vision. And so there's not a lot that slows you down.
Scary.
Quite like, I can't drive myself anywhere.
So God's like, okay, Mandy, I gave you some warning signs. We didn't listen. And now I'm just going to park your butt. That's what happened.
Yep. Yeah. Yeah. Pretty much. Yep.
Yeah. I think God is so big with limits. He's always showing us where the limit is. Hey, you can eat from any tree in the garden, except these two trees. That was the first limits that were set for us.
No, you know what? I'm going to push back The first limit was
Sabbath.
Seventh day of creation.
Rest. Okay.
Because that is my, like, that has, I would say that's probably been the sweetest gift from the Lord in the last 3 years of my life has been the gift of Sabbath.
You know what? I love that you said that, because that's right. I mean, he was like, hey, we're going to work and then we're going to rest.
We're going to work and we're going to rest. And he came to the end and he said, this is enough.
Yeah.
So to the question, like, is more like how much more is necessary?
Yeah.
I mean, if we don't think that the Lord could have continued in his creative endeavors to develop some other part of the known world, as he did days 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, his creativity is infinite. He could have done so much more.
Yeah.
But our God is a God who says, I know when to stop.
Yeah, exactly.
And when he knows when to stop, he rested.
Okay. So he showed us that in the Old Testament, but he showed us that so beautifully and practically in the New Testament.
Oh my gosh. Yes. Over and over and over. Yeah.
Right. Jesus came and he would come and he would love the people and he would heal the people and he would take care of the people. And then he would go off and he would go pray and get restored, renewed, refilled. There's one episode in The Chosen. And were you going to talk about
The Chosen on our last recording?
Right. Where Jesus is healing the people. And the line was really long. And it's like he started early in the morning.
Yes.
And it's nighttime. And the disciples, they're all, and you know, Mary, they're at the camp and she had just come, she had just come journeyed to where they were. And
his Imam Mary, not his Mary Magdalene Mary.
Right. His Imam Mary. Yes. And they're like, oh, it's been a long day. And they're sitting around the camp and he's doing his thing. And then he comes just so tuckered out, like drained physically. And I still think that is an example of margin. He gave everything he had within his limits and then he was done. And then he came to retreat and he didn't even sit with the disciples. He was like, good night. Yeah. That's we've got to love and serve and then know our limits. And that's why margin is so important. And I really do think, I love that we brought up the Sabbath, because I think the spiritual disciplines are a beautiful way to demonstrate margin.
Yeah. 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 When we've talked in other episodes about spiritual disciplines, tell me, what are your kind of non-negotiable spiritual disciplines?
Silence and solitude, prayer. That's just sitting and being still, right? Just sitting and being still. I create margin for that. Settle my brain down. Prayer, fasting. That's just a dependency. It's like reminding me that I'm dependent fully on God. Laying down all my cares, concerns at the altar. Sabbath, 100% resting. Confession. I think we have to have a daily confession. I believe biblically we need daily confession, and that's just in prayer and with others, right? That's first to God, mm-hmm. 1 John 1:9, and 2 James 5:16 to others. And so we need a daily confession, because then that makes space for releasing guilt and whatever other feelings we're carrying, harboring. And then it gives opportunity for correction, right?
Okay. I'm just going to stop you for a second. Let's talk about the practical nature of that.
Yeah.
I think we all can probably consider what it's like to carve out time for silence. We live in the noisiest time in history. So I don't know that necessarily we're choosing it, but we know what it's like to say, I'm going to sit here for 5 minutes. Mm-hmm. Prayer, I think, you know, for those of us who have been walking with the Lord for any length of time, we understand a little bit, you know, whatever the Lord has sort of given us in his goodness to what it means to be in conversation with him.
Right.
What does it look like to carve out time for confession? What does that look like? If I'm looking at your calendar, if I'm walking a day with you, if I go on vacation with you and we're planning out our time, what do I see? What do I hear? What do I experience as you create margin for confession?
Well, when I have that conviction of, oh, you know, I crossed the line somewhere and I sinned, because goodness gracious, you know, I sin daily, and I have a revelation to it. I generally try to check in with myself morning, lunch time, dinner time, nighttime, right? Bedtime, like those four parts of the day. So generally by dinner time, I'm very well aware of, oh shoot, I have this feeling. I've had this experience today. I did this thing. And so for me personally, on the way home from work, I make a phone call to call one of my accountability partners. And I say, hey, this is what's happening inside of me today. Mm-hmm. And I share the negative thoughts, the good thoughts, all the, because I think confession can also be a healthy growth moment too. Not just like a shame moment of, oh man, I'm a sinner and I suck. You know, it's like, no, right. I saw this goodness in me today from the Lord. You know, I applied this concept today, or I had this self-awareness today. So confession for me looks like a moment of spiritual and emotional awareness, then that I share with God first and then with an accountability partner second.
Okay. So what does it look like to, you said you check in with yourself three or four times a day. Mm-hmm. What does that mean? What are you, do you have a count? Do you have an alarm set? Do you do that at mealtime? Do you do like a body inventory, like head to toe? What is it to check in with yourself?
What a great question. I think I've done it for so long. I don't have an alarm, but I did in the beginning. Mm. And when I was learning, it was nap time. I put my kids down for nap. I did my quiet time. I did my journaling. And every day at 2 o'clock, I was checking in with myself, right? So I created a rhythm of how do you feel? What are the big feels too? Like, what are the ones that are captivating you and that create the swirling thought processes? And what are the thoughts I need to take captive? What's my self-talk? 17 years ago, my self-talk was, I can't believe how dumb you were. I can't believe how you didn't show up well for so-and-so. I can't believe you said that. It was all critical, self-criticizing. I worked really hard on that self-talk. Of, hey, no, what are these affirmations? And so I give affirmations, biblical affirmations, self-affirmations, and then I really am checking in with my body. What do I feel? Mm-hmm. What's heavy? Are my shoulders heavy? Is my gut heavy? Because maybe I have cortisol. Am I nerve? What's my feeling? What's my emotion? So those are the things I'm checking in on. And then, well, what am I going to do about it? Because if it's a negative state, I don't want to stay there. And so then it follows up with, what's my self-care going to be? Today, am I going to go on a walk? Am I going to the chiropractor? Am I getting in the infrared sauna? Am I taking a bath? And how am I eating? So those are that's what I'm doing when I check in with myself and take inventory.
So the beautiful thing about what you're describing is that you're kind of clearing out, right? So there's margin that we proactively create, mm-hmm. that we say on the front end, you know, from 7 a.m. to 8 a.m., I'm going to read my Bible. I'm going to pray. I'm going to journal. But what you're describing is kind of a secondary margin. It's a clearing of life has come at you.
Mm-hmm.
You have reacted to it, as we all do, because that's just how it is. We encounter circumstances that give us, we have reactions. We have physical, emotional, spiritual, psychological reactions. And then you have said, I'm not going to let this take up space, because space matters. So you're going to get a grip on it and you're going to clear it out.
Yeah.
And I'm talking with my hands because we're on video and none of our listeners can see that, but there is truly a like wrap it up in your palm and move it to the side. Doing these things, these practices that you've learned, serve you to establish a cleared space when you are just in the middle of doing all the other things of life.
Absolutely. To reset margin.
To reset. And ensure that you have the space in front of you, because otherwise we've all been there, right? We just get all twisted up in it and then we spin, and then it's in our spinning, we cause damage and we bump up against other people and inadvertently then we're like, oh, darn it. Now I got to go back and repair this and I've got to fix this. And that takes more time. We don't have to do that.
I got to go to Indiana and visit my friends and work and see my favorite chiropractor on the planet and get some really good care. But, and so, but I had to create margin the whole time I was there.
Yeah.
Margin for my work calendar, margin for my physical body calendar, for my medical attention, margin with my friends so that I could get my fill and right. And so I had these spaces, but I also left margin for rest.
Yeah.
And I had a lot of people asking me, hey, can you get together? Hey, can you get together? And I wanted to see the world. I couldn't. I was so proud of myself because I had committed to go to the IF gathering and I wanted to go and grow spiritually at this wonderful conference that Mandy and her team and were hosting and, you know, which were my dear friends. And I was like, I'll see all these people and then I'll hear a word from the Lord and this will be great. Well, come the time for the conference, I was done.
You could not. I mean, your eyes, you walked in that door and you, even if you wanted to stay, you couldn't have stayed. You'd have fallen asleep at your table.
But I'll tell you 10, 15 years ago, I would have stayed because I would have beat myself up with, I committed. I said I was going to be there. Ugh, I feel guilty that I'm not taking an opportunity to hear from the Lord. I would have shamed myself into abandoning my margin, my health. And instead I came in, I said, I love y'all. I want to hug you. I want to say hi, but you know what? It's best for me to go home. And
you know what I hear in your description of margin is it's priorities.
Yeah.
And it's a commitment to honor the priority you've set in a way that conveys confidence that you know your priorities are in the right place.
Mm-hmm.
Because you said I built in margin for rest. And I'm thinking it wasn't margin. It was your commitment. It wasn't like, you know, it wasn't extra space. You know, using the paper analogy, it wasn't that one inch around all four sides.
Right.
It was your commitment. Rest was written on the lines.
Yes.
You said, I'm going to rest, you know, in as that played out, you know, I didn't get one-on-one time with you.
I know.
We had a couple of fun projects that we worked on together, but we didn't get one-on-one time. And there was never a point where I felt like you were saying I wasn't important. It was you were just saying, this is what I need to do.
Yeah.
And I, you know, we wouldn't challenge that you need to get your car fixed if your car's broken.
Right.
You're going to rest your body the same way you're going to care for any other part of you that you don't want to be broken.
Right.
Yeah.
And, you know, this is really that you just brought up such a good point in margin too. Not everybody likes when you set limits. the healthy people in your life are going to be able to do what you just did. This was not a reflection that she doesn't love me. She doesn't want to spend time with me. I'm not important. This is a opportunity for me to honor and honor her boundaries and margin and show her that I love her and be confident in the relationship.
Because it's so funny because I just got done saying, like, I feel so guilty when I tell someone I can't see them. It really is about recognizing these are what my priorities are. This is right. What's most important. Right. And it's not that you're unimportant. It's that I love you enough to honor what feels important to you.
Yeah. Right. And so I was grateful for that. Right. And we did have fun projects and
we did.
And we did get to sit and watch the end of the Purdue Wisconsin game.
Yes. Yeah.
That was fun.
That is a sacred space that I get to share with you to watch NCAA March Madness with you. Cause that's an important, that is very important. That's almost as important as Hallmark Christmas movies.
It is, but it wasn't the time I wanted either. Right. That we have to acknowledge that too, when we're setting our limits and then we're honoring our limits, we've got to hold the grief a little bit, right? That, oh, I don't get to do everything I want to do.
So to bring this back, as we start to wrap up, to bring this back to the conversation around Sabbath, you know, I think what you're saying in terms of honoring the grief and recognizing what doesn't happen when we have margin is the awareness that we want to, at least for me, I don't want to get too legalistic about it, where it starts to feel like there's hard edges around it. You know, margin is for good.
Yeah.
And I'm reminded of the scripture in the New Testament where Jesus says, when he's confronted by the Pharisees or Sadducees, I don't remember which, but the religious leaders, that should probably always be my answer. The religious leaders, that way I'm not saying the wrong ones, about the Sabbath, that he's doing work on the Sabbath. And he's like, the Sabbath was not, man was not created to honor the Sabbath.
Right.
Sabbath was created for man.
Right.
And it's the same thing. Like, I think we can substitute margin in that sentence. Like, margin is created for our good. It is because there is something good in that. And you model that, you know, as you lay that out, as you talk about what feels important. It's not the legalistic, I have to sleep for this amount of time, or I have to, you know, eat this kind of food, or I have to build in these minutes in my schedule. It's instead saying it is for my good.
Yes.
That I just carry what is mine.
Right. Yeah.
And not what is someone else's and not what's legalistic, but just in fact to say, this is what I'm capable of.
Mm-hmm, absolutely. And I just think, I'm like, friends that are listening, I'm like, if we want to live an uncommon purpose, we have to start bossing our margin around, right?
Yes.
We really do. We've got to get a hold of it and say, like, these are the things that I value. These are the things that are my priorities. And these are the things that I'm committed to. And sometimes those will look like routines. And sometimes those will look like the word no.
Yeah.
And sometimes they'll look like a retreat.
Yeah.
But that is how we live an uncommon purpose, by managing our margin.
Yeah. And ensuring that we have the space to show up where the Lord invites us to be. Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. So Mandy, question for you. What do you need?
You know, in prepping for this episode, I did some research on margin, and I stumbled on an article by Michael Hyatt, and we can add the link. I think somebody probably listening might want to follow up on this. He writes about margin, and he gives an example of his schedule and bringing his schedule back into line. And I do resist a little bit of what it is to have a really rigid schedule. Mm-hmm. It feels kind of contradictory to the idea of having space, like creating so much structure, because I believe this, then it will give me more space. The truth is that I need to create the structure to allow the right things in the right place, in the right order. It's kind of like the old, you know, Franklin Covey analogy of putting your big rocks in first, and then your medium-sized rocks, and then your small rocks, and the sand, and then the water. It's a beautiful way to put things in the right places. And so I think on a really practical level, what I need right now is just probably a little bit of a calendar reset.
Yeah.
I need to get in and make sure that I'm putting the right things in the right order, in the right places. So I need, we are recording this on Silent Saturday. Mm-hmm. And the holy in Holy Week, and my Sabbath will look a little different this week because Easter rhythms bring some different schedule. But when I'm able to carve out, I'll actually have my Sabbath will be on Monday. I'm going to spend some time with my calendar, and I just need to kind of whip it into shape a little bit better.
Well, there you go. Yeah, that's good.
So the other question we like to wrap up with, we have two, is where did you see God in this conversation? So friend, I wonder where it is that you saw the Lord as we talked our way through margin priorities and boundaries today.
This might surprise you, but I actually saw the Lord saying, "Well done, good and faithful servant. Mm. You managed your time and your margin well." And in a result, my friend here, who I would have loved to have sat at the table with every day when I was visiting, I'm not disappointed and I love you. Mm-mm. And yeah. Right. And so that I feel very much the Lord just saying, keep working, keep doing what you're doing, keep growing, keep taking care of yourself. And so that feels really beautiful from him.
That's good. That's good. Okay, friends. Well, until next time, keep looking for these, just all these sweet little ways that you can continue to uncover your uncommon purpose and make choices to lead yourself in the direction of living that out. Okay. We'll talk to you next time.
Okay. Bye, y'all.
We've loved having this conversation with you, and we are excited for the next one. Make sure to subscribe to Uncommon Purpose wherever you listen to podcasts so you'll never miss an episode.
Connect with us on social media. We'd love to hear your thoughts, stories, and experiences. Your journey is part of this larger tapestry we're weaving together.
This is Mandy
and Stephanie. Talk to y'all next time.